Today, what I'm going to talk about is how we prepared for the hurricane and then what happened afterwards. And like I said, I did chair a committee where we actually sat down with other resident coordinators at research stations and decided what do we need to do better. You've already seen I'm located here in Hammond. This is where Mike McCormick is in southeast Louisiana. Also, a research scientist at my station now is the resident coordinator of Citrus since Katrina, since this station was totally destroyed. It was flooded, completely flooded. So we have a lot of history here. We were not prepared for Katrina, and by the time Rita came along, we were still in intensive care. We didn't know if the patient was going to survive. So we realized we needed a catastrophe reaction plan. And the Ag Center was working on one, but they had been working on it, you know, as most universities, for several months, probably for a year, and it had not been completed prior to Katrina. So this gave us an opportunity to go back and really revamp it to make it fit, you know, all situations. You need one for each research facility. Like Mike has one for his, I have one for mine, but you also need one for your ag, we call it our ag center. You also need one for the university or for whoever's in overhead, because without their cooperation, nothing's going to work. Ours was not adequate. It wasn't even close. It was really kind of a joke because it did not address all the issues, and man, we thought we were ready. Our hurricane plan, it's basically, you know, we're going to fill the vehicles, we're going to get chainsaws ready, we're going to, you know, do all this common stuff. It wasn't even close. And you think, well, I'm not in a hurricane zone, but like somebody said, you could have fires, you could have bombs, you could have tornadoes. So there's all kinds of situations where you may come under this kind of stress, and the ability to do something is going to depend on your plan. Preparing for the storm. You need to have everything you need to survive for 72 hours. Now, I never thought in the United States of America that we would be so isolated. Now, Patricia said that they had cell phones. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have landlines. And when I walked outside of my house after Katrina passed over and saw all the trees down, all the telephone lines, all the electrical lines were basically down. There weren't even a lot of poles standing. I knew we were going to be without electricity for months. Plus, the roads were all blocked, so people couldn't get to us. So you got to have everything you need to survive for 72 hours. You know, we're talking electricity, fuel, water, feed, everything. Employees, that was a big deal. Prepare to be without electricity for weeks. We were 1 week at our station. He was 2 weeks. I was 2 weeks at my house. I know people that were out of electricity for 4 weeks. Now, you think, when you sit down in your house, how you gripe when you're without electricity for 5 hours. Go for 2 weeks without electricity. 2 weeks, it was something. Develop a generator plan. You need to figure out what size and number you need. And a lot of times we think, well, we need a generator to run the greenhouse, you know, until the electricity comes back on. Well, what if you had to run that greenhouse or that cooler or that lab facility for 2 weeks without electricity? Some of the decisions we had to make was, we knew we were going to be without electricity for a long time. So is this research, was it important enough, or was it non-repeatable that we needed to save it? Because when you start a generator up, you got to keep putting fuel in it, and you got to have somebody to man that thing 24 hours a day. I mean, Mike was talking about he had to have somebody, you know, they had to milk their cows, but they also had to keep their cooler going, except I'm sure you decided nobody was going to come get the milk anyway, so you might as well dump it. But how are you going to get the generators? You can have them on site, but that gets to be pretty expensive. So what we did in the Ag Center is we actually developed a list of where generators are available, and these are going to be pre-positioned for rapid deployment. You know, up in North Louisiana, they did not lose the power, but if they have generators, then they're going to be prepared to haul them down to any area of the state where they're going to be needed. You've got to do the training safety meetings. I can't tell you how many dairy farmers and nursery farmers that I know that blew up generators because they just didn't know what they were doing. And they hooked them up, burned them up, and then they were stuck. So you need to do this annually, and you need to do a dry run so that you know that they will handle what you are trying to run. Fuel is a precious item. I mean, we never thought about the fact that, besides the fact that you didn't have money and credit cards didn't work because there were no telephones, you didn't have electricity to pump the gas, and then once that did come online, you didn't have the transports coming in. So it was a serious thing not having fuel. And if you have all these generators going, you got to have something to put in them. My husband, we own a 125-acre container nursery. So we thought we were prepared and found out we didn't have near enough generators. But just finding the fuel to keep these running 24 hours so that we could water these plants, that was a serious issue. Store enough fuel on site, if you can, for a week. That's tough, because you need 2,000 and 3,000 gallons of diesel to run these generators for a week. What we're doing in the Ag Center is that we are going to develop storage tanks at some of these places that are less, you know, different parts of the state. And they're going to be maintained, and then we're going to have trailers, fuel tanks mounted on trailers so that these can be hauled to affected stations. So this is one way we're going to try to cope, because I know, like, Mike came by my station saying, do you have any fuel? And he would fill up 50-gallon drums. Well, now we'll have the means to at least transport fuel in. No electricity means no water. Of course, y'all have heard all this about livestock, milking, irrigation, and whatever. But the main thing nobody mentions is bathroom facilities. We couldn't shower. We couldn't go to the bathroom. On my husband's nursery, we have 60 people that live on the nursery, and we did not have bathroom facilities. So this gets to be a serious, serious issue. And it's things you take for granted. I never knew that cold showers could feel good. But after Katrina, after 3 or 4 days, you were willing to take any kind of bath that you could. Taking care of business, you know, we all do this where we unplug our computer, where we cover them with plastic bags, and this did help in our case. Now, down at the Citrus Research Station, they got 8 and 9 feet of water in there, so nothing helped them. But the biggest thing is backing up all the computers. Now that the Ag Center has its plan, someone is assigned, and it is written down on paper, who is responsible at your experiment station for backing up computers. Because scientists are responsible for their own, but in the office you'll be surprised how much material was lost because computers had not been backed up. And we now have a plan that this person is responsible for backing up this computer, and they're responsible for taking that backup home with them. And we make 2 copies and they go in 2 different directions. Stock up on supplies. This was mentioned before. I mean, we couldn't go buy stuff. Now let me tell you how bad it was. Katrina came in on a Monday. Walmart did not open until Friday. We could not go to Walmart and buy anything that we needed. It did not open until Friday. That's how isolated and how bad it was. The little mom and pop stores would open up. Some of them would only take cash. Some of them would just write it down on a sheet of paper. But if we hadn't had our small mom and pop stores, I don't know what we would have done. Have first aid kits. This was a real scary thing for me because we're out there operating chainsaws and everything, and if somebody got hurt, we didn't have a hospital that we could go to because they didn't have electricity. They started out with their generators, and some of them got online, but it was, you know, you didn't have medical aid. You definitely couldn't call the ambulance. Communications, we didn't have any. Plan to be without phone communication for at least a week. Everybody thought, well, you'll have cell phones. With the tire arcs didn't blow down, after about 24 hours, they ran out of juice. They ran out of electricity. Their battery backups ran out of juice, and we were dead. I mean, the only way Mike and I could talk is if we were standing right next to each other. And then we really couldn't get that close because there were so many trees in the way. So you need a backup communication system. What we're starting to do in the Ag Center is we're going to have satellite phones for the university leaders. And somebody said, well, how does that help? Well, if you have a satellite phone at each one of the research stations and at least one with your university leader, at least you can call them and let them know what's going on. Our leaders came out to our place about 3 days afterwards because Baton Rouge was not damaged. per se, but they couldn't get in touch with us. They had to physically come visit us to see what was on hand. And then we pass out numbers now. Everybody has a list of disaster relief and emergency numbers available, and this is updated. Like Patricia said, we get our employees now have to fill out a card annually letting us know if they evacuate, who's the most likely person, because you could not find people after the storms. You could not find them. Where have all the employees gone? You need to predetermine who's going to be on duty before and after the storm, because they will disappear and you will not hear from them. And you don't know if they quit work, if they're lost, if they got damaged in the storm, or what happened to them. So, and you have to have a plan to contact them, you know, and it may be that you know somebody lives in this area, so he's responsible for contacting these people that live close to him, because physically we had to go see people. You couldn't call them on the phone. But you need to have some kind of plan to contact employees. And now we have an 800 number, so that if employees got shipped off to Houston, got evacuated, got put in some of these centers, you know, they at least could get on the phone an 800 number, no charge, and call and report. And it's a central number so that all the information is accumulated. You need an official policy on what's the employee responsibility for reporting to work after a disaster. You know, you tell them not to come back until it's safe. Well, for some people, safe was 2 weeks later because, you know, there might have been a tree limb out of place. So you really do have to specify when they have to report to work. Official closings and compensation for work during official closings. The Ag Center decided after the fact that they were paying for that week when, you know, right after the storm. But, you know, we had a lot of employees who showed up and worked during that week, and there was no means of compensating them. Now, I ended up paying my employees time and a half for that week, but it came out of my station budget. There was nothing set up in the Ag Center to take care of these people who reported to work and worked while other people were sitting home or taking care of their business at home. So, but fewer actually worked. You'll be surprised. They look to the university for a relief role here. And everybody, you have large tracts of land. So everybody from the National Guard to the energy companies to FEMA people, they're looking for a place to park their trailers, to park their equipment. And they come to the research stations. And the Ag Center had no policy on this. So it was just kind of, you know, whoever decided or the director would decide, but you've got to decide ahead of time now, how are you going to handle that? You need to get an Ag Center representative or one of your representatives on the Emergency Preparedness Committee. Every parish has one, and we've just never been on it. But everybody looks for us as a resource, so we need to. And we need to establish a policy of how we're going to work with other people. The Department of Ag and Forestry provided diesel, or they were able to get diesel, and they were distributing it to medical personnel and to dairy farmers. But it was in Washington Parish, it was the Ag Center personnel who was actually manning the pump. So we need to know what are our role here. I'm going to talk a little about dealing with FEMA and the documentation, and you're going to see this word. I'm going to probably say it 25 times. And document everything. Photograph everything. You know, down timber, dead animals, milk dumpings, debris piles, everything. And like you said, right after the storm, you're kind of in shell shock. But even if it's a fire, even if it's a tornado, just you need to have somebody assigned. You can't take too many photos. And you need to have somebody assigned that's their job after the storm is you start taking pictures. Because it's going to come back to haunt you if you don't. Document everything and be specific. You know, who, what, when, where, and how many hours. Here we go again. When was the work done? Who did the work? You have to document it by the employee name. Now that sounds pretty silly, but FEMA's going to come up and say, we're going to pay you for the actual labor costs that it took you to repair this building or to clean up this fence. And they want to know if employee A makes $12 and employee B makes $10 an hour, well, how many hours did employee A work and how many hours did employee B work? You have to know exactly. You just can't say I had five employees work 3 hours. No, that doesn't work. So you need to specify how many hours were spent on each job. What work was done? FEMA and Office of Risk Management pay for different cleanup work. If a tree fell on a fence, then FEMA would pay for it if it was around a pasture. If a tree fell on your roof, Office of Risk Management paid for that. So you not only have to keep track of what, where the work was done and what was done, but you had to be very specific. Of course, we found this out after the fact. What tools were you used? You know, if you used a chainsaw, they wanted to know what size the chainsaw was. Patricia's shaking her head. They wanted to know what size the chainsaw was because they would give you this much money for, you know, a 100cc chainsaw and this much money for a 50. And if you used a backhoe, if you used a tractor, if you used a trailer, if you used a truck, they have specific money assigned to each one of these items. So you need to keep track of what tools. And I mean, that's the least thing on your mind right now is you're trying to get your station back in operation. But if you want to get money back from FEMA, you've got to do this. Be specific. Say it was a tree from the fence on the west side in Field 18 so you can tell them exactly where it happened. Or that we picked up 10 from the front of the lawn of the office building. Because if that 10's over in that pasture over there, they may not pay for it. And be aware that FEMA has approved methods of debris removal. You know, on top of all this, then you had to tell them, how are we going to remove the debris? You can stack it and let it decompose. You can stack it and burn it, but the ashes have to be properly disposed of on site. You need to take photos of this debris. I mean, you take photos of stacked debris, and then we took photos of this debris burning. I hadn't figured out how to take a photo of debris decomposing, but if I would have, could have, I would have. You can also have it picked up and hauled off, but this person who hauls it off has to be approved. It can't just be anybody, and it has to be sent to an approved parish and state landfill. And then you need to have your haul tickets, and we would actually take pictures of the load. This is load number one, this is haul ticket number one, so that if they came back, and they did come back, you could tell them exactly the documentation. After the storm, it wasn't just farmers, it was everybody looked to the Ag Center. Don't ask me why, but everybody looked to the Ag Center or the university, your cooperative extension. They thought we knew everything, and they didn't know where else to go. So they would come to us, and it's the politicians as well as the general population. We were a resource. They wanted us to do crop damage, recovery assessments, mold removal, soil contamination. So we had to do all this. And they even wanted to know, where do we get information? So one of the things is be prepared to generate, print, and distribute information quickly. Sometimes paperwork or the way to do things gets in the way, and so a plan needs to be in effect. You know, we had people who wanted to print things, but they got over there and they said, well, you know, do you have permission to do this? You know, where's the money coming from? And this is stuff that needed to be generated right away. So you need to have a plan. So in summary, you should have not only a catastrophe reaction plan on your station, but you should have one for your overall university unit. Have everything you need to survive for 72 hours. And I mean, sometimes we're talking about ice, we're talking about food. I mean, when you have people living on your station and they cannot go anywhere, they cannot go to Walmart and purchase food, plus they don't have any money, you may need to have some peanut butter and jelly. Those got to be very good sandwiches after Katrina. Prepare for loss of communication, power, and other services. I mean, you're not going to have cell phones, you're not going to have telephones, and you're not going to have internet. So there's no way to let people know. And fuel and feed delivery, I think it was almost 2 weeks before that started. Well, even it was more than 2 weeks before it got to be more regular. Let your employees know what to do before and after the storm. When are they going to report and what you expect from them? So I hope that gives y'all a little information from our experiences. We just hope we don't ever have to go through it again. Thank you.